Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Hi, folks. This is part three of the investigative series I've been doing, and I'm going to cram a lot of information into this segment. Left off, we're talking about Fauci, Burks, of course, the lead up with Fauci, HIV, AIDS. Again, the real Dr. Fauci. You need to read that book, as I mentioned before. But now, I'm going to kind of start from the end and work my way backwards, kind of just to summarize, sum everything up. Today, right now, as we speak, the top 0.05% of everyone on Earth, well, of Americans, which is fewer than 200,000 American citizens, they own more than the bottom 90% or of the about 300 million American citizens that make up the dwindling middle class and the growing lower class. All right. This is by design. This is really, again, this is kind of like the bottom line. Now, the first two segments really, maybe it was slow for you. Maybe it was tedious for you, but this is tedious when you get into the granular level of what's taking place. Look, I want to touch on a few things. We spoke about John D. Rockefeller Sr., John D. Rockefeller Jr. I kind of want to go back, okay, having given that platform of the individuals at the top 0.5% control everything. Again, who are they? Rather than go back first, let me continue with my thought here about the methods, the manners, the plans, the plots, the schemes to enslave all of us. These oligarchs, they are accelerating right now their managed decline of this country. You've got to understand this. They are running scared. And this is why, in part, President Trump upset the apple cart when he got in unexpectedly and really stopped the Hillary Clinton 8-year plan. Remember, it was Obama, then Hillary. That was the plan. Yep, it was Donald Trump got in there, stopped that plan. And of course, what happened in 2020, we saw that Biden was installed. Biden installed because Obama, as a middle manager, answering to the top 0.05% of the population, is nothing more than the purveyor of the information into the earpiece of the meat puppet, Joe Biden. All right. I often say, you know, quid pro quo dementia Joe, and knee pads ho Harris. But anyway, they are actually running the system right now, at least the face of the system. Behind the scenes, you've got this oligarchy. And, you know, whether we talk about the southern border, the wide open southern border, in the past, the lockdowns and perhaps the coming lockdowns, because I mentioned Disease X in the second installment of this, there will be more things that are coming very soon that will affect all of us, much like, if not greater than, COVID-19. All right. Now, again, getting back to and kind of going with the same theme, jumping between present, future, and then past. I've got to do this because the limited amount of time I have and the information. It's just voluminous. Perhaps if we can do this, to set the stage, to show you how long this has been going on. Eric the Tech on, I've got a video. It's video one in the show notes. This is from 1957. And here's why I bring this up. You remember me speaking about in the previous installment or installments, Margaret Sanger. Perhaps you recall Margaret Sanger as the really the superintendent of Planned Parenthood to some extent, the founder. And then, of course, the award that Hillary got, the Margaret Sanger Award. But you've got to understand, I think everyone needs to understand the role Margaret Sanger had in things like the Negro Project. The fact that she was a great eugenicist, and by great, I'm not talking about fantastic. I'm talking about this. She wanted to, and she, while she was alive, she wanted to kill the inferior population, whether they were the Negroes, as she put them, the infirmed, the sick, the elderly, and in many cases, the unborn, especially those unborn to useless people is her term. And we could do an entire week on Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, and the Gates, Bill Gates connection to Planned Parenthood. And of course, Bill Gates' father was part of Planned Parenthood, but I digress. Okay. That also, in addition to Margaret Sanger, I'm just going to throw this out there first. Alfred Kinsey, that whack job of a psychiatrist, psychologist, doctor, whatever. Kinsey, who was looked upon as a pioneer in the sexualization of children and the sexualization of really the population, Western population, this wall breaker, bringing in, hey, this revolution of sorts. This is all connected, okay? And I'm talking about these people specifically right now to get to an end point, because from all of these people, you'll see the Mexico City policy. And folks, you can take notes, write these down. Mexico City policy, things like the CRISPR gene editing, and the members of various groups, unelected, unappointed groups like the Club of Rome. I mentioned this earlier, but again, it bears repeating. The Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Aspen Institute, okay, the World Bank. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, all of these, I'm telling you, they are all incestuously connected toward this end goal. And the reason I'm doing this deep dive into this investigative series is to perhaps give you a little bit of a taste, and maybe with this information, you can connect some dots and you yourself can see where this is headed. But I want to play, this is from 1957, and this is about a minute 10 seconds of an hour-plus interview, or an hour-long interview with Mike Wallace, interview with Margaret Sanger. I want you to listen to what she's got to say in the context of what we're talking about today. Again, 60-some years ago now, right? 66, 67 years ago. That's how long ago this was. The goals of Sanger are the same goals as Gates, or the same goals as detailed, I would say, in the Deagle report that we talk about with respect to the lowering of the population. But watch this minute and 10 seconds, and then do me a favor. in the program description guide for this particular series, I think what I'll do is I'll put all of the links in the all three modules. Watch the entire video and think back to 1950s, or imagine, if you will, because a lot of people weren't born in 1950. Imagine listening to this, watching this in 1957, and compare it to today, and see how far people like Fauci, Birx, Gates, Bezos, the head of Google and the head of Alphabet and the head of Facebook, Zuckerberg, see how far they've brought us in the bigger picture of things, okay? Look, I don't want to just toss information out there, have words fall out of my mouth. What I'm trying to do is show you the enormity of what we're dealing with. And again, a lot of the people are so incestuous. And a lot of the people that we're talking about today came from the same families as there were back in the 50s, in the 40s, in the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds. You know, we talk about these families as if we know the details behind them. Well, Sanger fits right in. So let's go ahead and play video number one in the show notes.
Let's look at another argument against birth control, Mrs. Sanger, published in Red Book magazine in March of 1956. It says birth control is a devastating social force which tends to weaken the moral fiber of the community. Immunity from parenthood encourages promiscuity, particularly when unmarried persons can so easily avail themselves of the devices. Do you doubt that?
I doubt it.
You do?
Certainly.
Then let me read from a news story in the Philadelphia Daily News on June 10th, 1942. The story quotes you as urging the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps to give its members, quote, preventive measures against pregnancy, end quote. And you add, quote, abortion and illegitimacy are bound to result if the government doesn't recognize human nature, end quote. In other words, you were not advocating Christian morality, but rather ways for single women to avoid bearing illegitimate children.
Where was this taken from?
Philadelphia Daily News, June 10, 1942, direct quote from Margaret Sanger.
I doubt it. I don't believe I ever made such a remark.
You know, the reason I selected that, what do we see today? It isn't the same thing. Fauci, I didn't say that the vaccine, as he called it, would stop the transmission. I didn't say that. Birx, same thing. I didn't say that. What's that?
I said absolutely they did.
But they did. And you know, when you go back through, Mike Wallace at the time, he had the receipts. He had the receipts. Think about this. But the brainwashing at that time was going on, okay, with respect to some of these eugenicists and population people. Now, this brings me to Bill Gates, and I don't want to just focus on any one person, but let's talk about Bill Gates, because Bill Gates Sr. and each of the individuals that he brought into, for example, run the Gates Foundation, which he did, and Bill Gates Sr. was part of, again, part of the Planned Parenthood. But they had a long history of passing through this revolving door of Rockefeller-backed population control efforts, including the Rockefeller's Population Council. That's a thing. Planned Parenthood. And then there is and you may have never heard this, Program for the Introduction and the Adaptation of Contraceptive Technology, which later rebranded itself as the Program for Appropriate Technology in Health, or the acronym PATH. Why do I bring this up? What are we seeing taking place here? We're seeing, from Sanger to Gates Sr., to Planned Parenthood, to all of these people with respect to population. We're seeing it's okay, number one, to kill the unborn. But we're also seeing this push towards this behavioral trait of immorality, free sex, free love. Remember the 60s, that kind of thing, sex without consequence. And I believe I talked about the pill RU486, the abortifacients. Okay. This is part of a larger destruction of the Western morality that this country was upon, which this country was based. But back in the there was a gentleman by the name of perhaps I said that loosely, called him a gentleman, one of the people that Bill Gates Sr. brought into the mix, and you don't hear this name hardly at all, is a man by the name of Gordon Perkin. Now, Perkin began as a contraceptive salesman in the mid-1950s when birth control was still taboo. In the 60s and 70s, Perkin worked with the Rockefeller Population Council on a joint population control project with what? The Ford Foundation. What the hell are these organizations doing here? This was around the time that Bill Gates Sr. was directing Planned Parenthood, when the Population Council and Planned Parenthood produced the Jaff memo, which I mentioned, I think, on the previous segment. But I didn't get into the Jaff memo. The Jaff memo argued for compulsory sterilization, compulsory abortions, and chronic depression would be a cause, or could be a cause, for reducing or sterilizing someone to reduce the population or birth rates. Now, in 1977, this Gordon Perkin and several other birth control enthusiasts, I don't know what you would call them, they founded PATH's predecessor, which worked closely with the Jaff memo participants, okay? You can dig into the Jaff memo or Jaffe memo. Dig into that to understand, again, the people involved at that time. Now, I'm going through my notes here, trying to do this very quickly. By the way, in the 80s, Perkin was hired by the United Nations Population Fund. Go figure, right? To give tours of Western contraceptive factories to Chinese pharmaceutical companies as China implemented its barbaric one-child policy. Again, if you think about this, if you look at this through the lens, the bigger picture, what is all of this all about? It's about, number one, sterilizing, you know, the average American family. What do we see with the jabs, the slab jabs? What was one of the side effects? It was sterilization. Do you think that was coincidence? I think not. Some might argue that the COVID virus, COVID-19, would be the same, or would have the same side effect. But this guy, this Perkin, I kind of focused in on him, man, when I was digging through this. And I know that Seamus Bruner writes a lot about him. But when you look at the various initiatives, he and other research associates continued to work with the Rockefeller and other tyrannical-based birth control initiatives through the 1990s. And then Perkin joined the Gates Foundation. Again, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So all of this has been going on for years without public scrutiny. In addition to this Perkin guy, I'm going to toss another name out. I'm sure you haven't heard. Bill Gates Sr. brought in a woman by the name of Suzanne Clouet. Now, she was another director of Planned Parenthood who happened to be, at the time, his neighbor, close friend, to help him run Bill Gates Jr. and Melinda Gates, their charity. So when you think of the Bill and Melinda Gates philanthropic stuff, okay, understand this is PR control for the mass population reduction. Does that make, by the way, does that make his statement about the shots controlling the population or reducing the population, does that contextualize that comment? I hope it does for you. But Perkin was the brains behind Gates' population control initiatives. And by the way, he was the creation, or he was the mental giant behind the creation of Gavi, the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization. That's Gavi, that you've heard about. I know you have. People have talked about it. The population control pipeline of the Rockefellers to the Gates Foundation continues through today. Now, I'm not going to get too far further into this, but except to say that the William H. Gates Foundation began with an endowment, and I find this very interesting, of $106 million. In 1999, the Gates Foundation merged with the Gates Learning Foundation, which was a much smaller, by the way, education-related initiative. And that formed the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that year, Gates poured $15 billion into this new mega foundation, turning it into one of the most, at least in America, one of the largest nonprofit organizations almost instantly. Now, so kind of give you some background. Again, if it sounds like I cut off on two and wrapping this up, again, it's because of time and it's because of the need to get so much information in. CEPI, you've heard of CEPI, speaking of Bill Gates. In May of 2020, an entity called the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations. Now, this is May of 2020. Extended $384 million in grants and loans that could be, you know what, if you pay it back, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. To Novavax to speed up the development of a COVID-19 vaccine. The reason I mention this is you paid for part of that, by the way, and the amount of revenue that pumped into the Gates Foundation. Again, CEPI, just absolutely incredible. So COVID-19 was this extremely big moneymaker. All right. Now, I want to mention this. Gates has a connection to Wuhan, and it's the result. His Wuhan connection is the culmination of more than a decade of gain-of-function virus research. When a virus is genetically modified, as with, for example, you know it, gain of function, the new Frankenstein type of whatever becomes known as a chimera or a chimera virus. And that's that mythical snake, goat, lion hybrid beast. And chimeric viruses have been under development for decades for use as bioweapons, which should tell you why when Rand Paul... if you go back to Obama cutting off that bioweapons research funding and Fauci turning around and saying, okay, fine, we won't fund that, but we'll do an end around through the University of North Carolina into, which was to the UK and then from there into China. The Gates Foundation had these chimeric viruses on the radar since at least 2005. and spent more than $6 million in 2016 to study those viruses. Now, I mentioned CEPI. CEPI is nothing more than a slush fund for global vaccine development that would provide grants, loans, and financial incentives into large pharmaceutical companies in order to help speed up the mass rollout of slab jabs, shots, vaccines, whatever you want to call them. In addition to the Gates Foundation, CEPI's funding partners are the World Economic Forum, the governments of Germany and Japan, and you've heard this before, Wellcome Trust, one of the most influential, NGOs that describes itself as a biomedical research charity. Now, Wellcome Trust is very closely affiliated, I would add, with the British royal family. And we could do an entire show on that. In moving forward, and again, this entirety of the Bill Gates, Fauci, Burks, all of these people with respect to the SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus, and the jabs is so stunning and so stunningly evil. It just beggars belief. Enter disease eradicating potential of gene editing. And this is where the mRNA, the modified and messenger RNA come into play. Two separate things. In October of 2019, Fauci appeared on a panel with fellow immunologist, and this is a name you need to know, Rick Bright. I told you I'd be naming names, but I can't give you all of the bios on these people. Rick Bright. And this panel was assembled to discuss the future of vaccines. And over the course of during this panel, Fauci said that the traditional vaccines, they take too long. So we've got to do something much better. And that much better thing is mRNA. Now, this Bright, who had previously worked on Gates-funded research, as well as working for the CDC, Novavax, as I mentioned, and PATH, as I mentioned, issued a very stunning hypothetical statement. And I'm going to read this statement. And perhaps you saw this in a clip. I don't know. Maybe this will sound familiar. But think about this in the context of, think about this. The entirety of this statement, it makes my head hurt to think about what he's saying here. It's not too crazy to think that an outbreak of a novel avian virus could occur in China somewhere. This is 2019 now. We would get the RNA sequence from that and beam it to a number of regional centers, if not local, if not even in your home at some point, and print those vaccines on a patch to be self-administered. You remember that? That was their mega goal. 80 days later, that's exactly what happened, minus the patches or beaming it up. Moderna told its investors that the Chinese authorities did beam the sequence of the coronavirus around the world. And the pharmaceutical companies, they got them, and man, they worked on them not almost, but immediately. Okay. Now, I'll just say this because just to make this simple, mRNA is a software update for the human body. It acts as a software update for the human body. It can encourage or discourage bodily functions by reprogramming the human body's response to exterior influences. Now, Musk, okay, and think about Elon Musk for a moment, because some people say, he's great, he's whatever. What's he involved in? Neuralink. Musk took the exciting promise of mRNA miracles a step further and stated that mRNA gene therapies could hack the aging process if you could afford it. Now, this is where it comes into play, where the oligarchs, as I mentioned, hey, they want to avoid death. They want to be small g gods, live forever. They can afford it. The useless among us, not so much. You die or you're killed off by viruses. Hey, think disease X. What is that? It's a placeholder for something more lethal than the SARS-CoV-2. So all of this, and this company, I mentioned CRISPR, the gene editing software. This is video two. This is a very, very important video. This is video two. This is about gene editing. I don't believe we didn't play this, right? Okay. So this, folks, this is about the CRISPR technology, gene editing and beyond. And then I'm going to go directly to the Great Reset very quickly and what they're planning based on my research and investigation over the next several, I'll say 12 months. But watch this.
The CRISPR-Cas9 system is a tool for cutting DNA at a specifically targeted location. The technique has already revolutionized gene editing, but scientists are always looking for new possibilities. So what else can CRISPR do? Since being discovered in a bacterial immune system, CRISPR-Cas9 has been adapted into a powerful tool for genomic research. There are two components to the system, a DNA cutting protein called Cas9 and an RNA molecule known as the guide RNA. Bound together, they form a complex that can identify and cut specific sections of DNA. First, Cas9 has to locate and bind to a common sequence in the genome called a PAM. Once the PAM is bound, the guide RNA unwinds part of the double helix. The RNA strand is designed to match and bind a particular sequence in the DNA. Once it's found the correct sequence, Cas9 can cut the DNA. Its two nuclease domains each make a nick, leading to a double strand break. Although the cell will try to repair this break, the fixing process is error-prone and often inadvertently introduces mutations that disable the gene. This makes CRISPR a great tool for knocking out specific genes. But making double-strand breaks isn't all CRISPR can do. Some researchers are deactivating one or both of Cas9's cutting domains and fusing new enzymes onto the protein. Cas9 can then be used to transport those enzymes to a specific DNA sequence. In one example, Cas9 is fused to an enzyme, a deaminase, which mutates specific DNA bases, eventually replacing cytidine with thymidine. This kind of precise gene editing means you could turn a disease-causing mutation into a healthy version of the gene, or introduce a stop codon at a specific place. But it's not all about gene editing. Several labs have been working on ways to use CRISPR to promote gene transcription. They do this by deactivating Cas9 completely, so it can no longer cut DNA. Instead, transcriptional activators are added to the Cas9 by either fusing them directly or via a string of peptides. Alternatively, the activators can be recruited to the guide RNA instead. These activators recruit the cell's transcription machinery, bringing RNA polymerase and other factors to the target, and increasing transcription of that gene. The same principle applies to gene silencing. A CRAB domain fused to the Cas9 inactivates transcription by recruiting more factors that physically block the gene. A more outside-the-box idea for using CRISPR is to attach fluorescent proteins to the complex, so you can see where particular DNA sequences are found in the cell. This could be useful for things like visualizing the 3D architecture of the genome, or to paint an entire chromosome and follow its position in the nucleus. CRISPR has already changed the face of research, but these new ideas show that what's been achieved so far could just be the tip of the iceberg when it comes to CRISPR's potential.
Okay, you can stop it right there.
Whatever.
Actually, it's pretty much over. But the bottom line, what was said, it's only the tip of the iceberg. So why did I want that played? Because when we talk about things like the Great Reset, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the World Economic Forum, Yuval Harari, Fauci, all of these people are heavily invested in exactly that, in changing us as human beings and creating chimeric viruses, but also creating chimeric humans, all right? Non-human humans, if you will. Skin suits that are not human. That's what's coming in to replace, I should say, the current population. And how are they going to do that? This is an evolving agenda for to use crisis in order to control the population. You saw it with the COVID-19. And by the way, the World Economic Forum, what role do they play? It was 2004 when the young leadership group, young leaders, okay, of the World Economic Forum was established. Those people who graduated from the World Economic Forum Young Leadership Group were the very same people who implemented 99% of the draconian lockdowns. Folks, COVID-19, the coronavirus, the bioweapon that was released from the lab in Wuhan did not create the economic and societal mess that we find ourselves in today. It was the people behind it employing the response to this scamdemic, this plandemic, and what they have for us next is much worse. The rush, the path into what is happening, the Great Reset, that's what they're going for, the Great Reset. What's the Great Reset? I'll just tell you, there's three components to the Great Reset. Number one is stakeholder capitalism. Okay, that's the first part of the Great Reset. And you might think, well, that sounds okay. Well, the economic system that we have is different than that of the economic system that Schwab and his fellows envision. It's neither capitalist nor accountable to any non-WEF stakeholders. Essentially, stakeholder capitalism gives the World Economic Forum, Schwab and his technocrat associates, a seat on every single board, much like the state-run capitalist system in communist China. As a matter of fact, and by the way, that's where party officials dictate outcomes and enforce orthodoxy. That's what they're going for. But that's only one pillar of the Great Reset. Okay. And by the way, China, communist China, the World Economic Forum back in the mid to late 70s built the communist Chinese stakeholder capitalism system we see today. The second part of the Great Reset is, well, out of stakeholder capitalism are ESG scores, environmental, societal, and government scores. That represents three lines of attack that the World Economic Forum plans to wage against companies who don't possess the Davos spirit. In other words, the party of Davos, their competitors, they're going to employ this ESG. And that's a system of penalties if you don't conform to their standards. And the third and final aspect of the World Economic Forum is really kind of a nebulous thing called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And that is to unleash, as a matter of fact, Schwab wrote a book on this. He describes the staggering confluence of new technologies that will make his new revolution possible, including artificial intelligence. This is where AI comes in. Robotics and the Internet of Things. So you've got three aspects, three parts to the Great Reset. As I mentioned before, stakeholder capitalism reformed the entire economic platform. And by the way, that does include central bank digital currencies, the digital currencies all across the board, okay, and everything that brings with it. That's number one. Number two, penalties in the form of specific scores, environmental. And how's your carbon footprint? Societal. Hey, are you hiring or is your business or are you personally conforming to our standards for behavior in society? And thirdly, the governance. And that would be applicable to local, state, and federal government agencies and departments to make sure that you conform to the party of Davos, the unelected bureaucrats. That's the second part. And the third, of course, is the more nebulous fourth industrial revolution that brings in the AI, that brings in and enter Yuval Noah Harari, enter the picture. And he's been working really for the past 15, 20 years on this. These futuristic dystopian issues. In fact, watch Black Mirror, The Handmaid's Tale. All of these are representative of Harari's initiatives. As the World Economic Forum agenda contributor, Harari has his vision of the future spelled out across the pages of the forum's website. Many of them are taken down, but many of them are still up. But he promotes innovations such as brain microchips, and don't forget about Elon Musk's Neuralink, virtual reality existences, Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse, and happy pill-style complacency drugs. Hey, think Zoloft, right? And eugenics-style gene editing, which you saw. It could be that could CRISPR-9 and the CRISPR can be used for exactly that. This is Rockefeller and Gates' CRISPR endeavors, and that is what comprises the Great Reset. But all of these people, again, 0.05% of the population in the U.S., less than 200,000 people control all of this. They are descendants of the Rockefellers. They are descendants of the Rothschilds. They are members of the Hastings Center. They are members of, or they have signed on to the Mexico City policy. Look that up. They are members of the Club of Rome, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Aspen Institute, the World Bank, other banks. They're part of the Kissinger Initiative and Institute, Bill Gates and others. Look, and by the way, and finally, if you want your mind blown, Winston Churchill, back in 1931, predicted lab-grown meats. You can look in the program description or open up the description in the for this, but for this investigative series. And lastly, I just want to mention, I did mention this, but I want to mention this again. Understand that there are international groups working, but finally, there are national groups working. I would grab a hold of Trevor Loudon's book, and I'll have it with me, and look at the roughly 30 subversive groups from the Committee of 100 to the Quad Caucus and everyone in between that have captured our legislative branches, the Senate, the House, our executive departments and branches, the executive branch, as well as our judiciary. They've infested and infected all of these folks. I've got to go. I hope you've got something out of this. I know it's a lot of information. It might seem scattered, but when you look at it as a whole, it should make sense to you. The thing is, we have to think bigger because they are thinking much bigger than you are. They want control over all of us. That's whether it's central bank, digital currency, to whatever disease X might be. It's not that necessarily. It will be the response, the tyrannical lockdowns. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Comments accepted. Rumble, Brighteon, and emails. Doug at HagmanReport.com. God bless you.